Amen. All right. We're going to begin reading there in Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1 right there. Beginning of the chapter, the Bible says, Paul says specifically, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now I made this statement on, I can't remember exactly which one of the two sermons, but when I was preaching in Romans chapter 1 or Romans chapter 2, I think it was Romans chapter number 1, how when you're reading in the Bible and you're reading letters, you have to, you know, sometimes we kind of disconnect ourselves from reality and we don't apply it to our lives today. And kind of some statements will go over our head. And I want to focus in on the very first verse. We're going to work our way down through those three verses. I want you to get this entire idea, what he's saying here. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost. Now first, that first verse, what that tells me is he's getting ready to say something that's pretty extreme. Because he's trying to persuade you right now that what I'm getting ready to say is true. So why would he have to say that, right? He's trying to tell you that what I'm getting ready to tell you is pretty extreme. Now look at the next verse, verse number 2. That I have great heaviness, look at this, and continual sorrow in my heart. Paul says that he had great heaviness. He was very sad. And then he says this. Think about this statement. And continual sorrow. Paul just had continual sadness, he says, in his heart. He was continually sad. Now he's going to tell you why. Continual sorrow in my heart. Watch this statement. For I could wish that myself were accursed for Christ, for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. Now think about that statement for a second, what he's really saying. Could you say that? Do you have the desire and the burden for some other group of people or for some person, an individual even, just one person, maybe a family member or something, where you could literally say, your conscience also bearing you witness and the Holy Spirit could say this is true, that I would be fine going to hell. I would rather be cursed and suffer eternal damnation and eternal judgment just so that person could be saved. That's an extreme statement. That's why he prefaces it with, what I'm getting ready to tell you is true. My conscience also bears witness. So when we look in the Bible, when we look at people that have a great burden for souls, a great burden for people to be saved, I don't think that there's a greater example than Paul. I don't think that there's a greater statement where you can see into someone's mind. And he says that he loves the people of his flesh, he loves the people of his kindred so much, that he literally would be willing to go to hell if he could just salvage them. That they could be saved. That he knew that they would go to heaven. He says, I would be accursed, you know, for Christ's sake. I would go to hell for them. For the people of my flesh. Wow. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Now I'm sure that there was, a special place in Paul's heart. It's obvious that there was a special place in Paul's heart for the people according to his flesh, for Israelites or for Jews. But Paul didn't only care about Israelites and didn't only care about Jews. He loved everyone of all nations. That's why he was the one that was willing. You look at Peter and all the other disciples, they pretty much started their ministry in the nation of Israel, and they were supposed to go out throughout the whole world. They started their ministry in the nation of Israel, and they stayed pretty much in the nation of Israel. But Paul proved that he didn't only care for the people of Israel. He went all throughout the world and preached the gospel to everyone, traveling and suffering. You know, one of the of all the people that just suffered from beginning to end in their life. Paul, obviously, some people went through some bad trials, just individual trials. Paul's whole life was a trial. His entire life, literally, from beginning to end, was just suffering, suffering, and suffering. Why? Just so that he could preach the gospel to the nation of Israel? No. He was in the nation of Israel for a very short period of time. His sufferings took place in other nations because he was endeavoring to bring the gospel to all nations of the world. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says this. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge. That I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews, I became as a Jew. And we saw him just a moment ago talking about how much love he had for the Jews. But watch, in the same breath, he says this. He says, that I might gain the Jews, to them that are under the law, as under the law. Excuse me. That I might gain them that are under the law. Verse 21. To them that are without law, as without law. Referring to Gentiles. If you look at Romans chapter number 2, chapter number 1 and chapter number 2, it's very obvious. Excuse me. He says here, to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak, watch this, became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. Watch what he says here. He summarizes the whole thing. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. So we see that Paul didn't only care about those of his own kindred. Yes, he had a special place in his heart, obviously. He was willing to literally, he had such a burden for the people of Israel, for the nation of Israel, that he was literally willing to curse his own soul, to give up his own soul and suffer eternal damnation in hell so that they would be saved. But also we can see here Paul's burden for all men to be saved, that he's willing to relate or do whatever it takes. Obviously, you know, not forsaking the law, but within the perimeters of what's pleasing to God, he's willing to do whatever it takes to become all things to all men. He said, that I might by all means save some. If we had an example of a man in the Bible that had the greatest burden for the people that he knew, for people that he didn't know, just for mankind or humanity in general to be saved, Paul had the greatest burden of all. The title of my sermon is taken from Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 18. The first part of that verse in particular, where the Bible says this, where there is no vision, the people perish. Where there is no vision, the people perish. My message this morning is entitled, The Vision for Jacksonville. The Vision for Jacksonville. I wanted to preach this sermon a little bit earlier because I want to set the stage early on. And I'm sure everyone else, you know, that's here, because this is a pretty close-knit church, I'm sure everyone else that's here has an idea of what my vision is for Jacksonville. But that's the purpose that I'm preaching the sermon, is that I don't want it to only be my vision. I want it to be the vision of Valiant Baptist Church. Because if a pastor, obviously God has ordained leaders, God has appointed pastors, and these people are supposed to, you know, set a vision. They're supposed to push people forward, to preach people and encourage them. But here's the thing. One person can only do so much.
Right.
You know, if we look at a city and a city is greatly impacted, people don't just say, you know, it's because that pastor, man. It's, you know, it all happened because that pastor. No, it's because of a great congregation that he has. It's because that everyone in the church, all the people that are a part of the congregation, all the people of whatever church that it may be, they all have the same vision. So I want to put my vision forth of what I want to do here in Jacksonville early on. And I want all of us to strive for this. And I want all of us to desire this. And all of us to share in the same vision. And first of all, I want, if someone's going to have a great vision, if someone's going to do something, they must have a burden. If you are going to desire something great, if you are wanting to please God and to do big things for God, if you aren't yearning to do so, if you don't have something that's pushing you and driving you, it won't get done. And if you don't sincerely have a burden for people to get saved, if you don't sincerely in your heart have a burden to reach the people of Jacksonville and to get the people of Jacksonville the gospel, then that vision will just dissipate. That vision over time will just fade away, and it will become just about, you know, the internal ministries, feeding, you know, the sick, doing all different types of things like that, or feeding the hungry, feeding the sick. Yeah, helping the sick, feeding the hungry. The sick people are hungry too, by the way, okay? But here's the thing. If we don't all have a burden, if we don't sincerely just desire, just look at people, and I want those people to be saved, it'll never happen. So the very first step, or the very first part of my vision for Jacksonville is, of course, preaching the gospel to every creature. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Where we can see the Great Commission. We're going to keep coming back to the Great Commission here a couple of different times. Not only here in Mark, but also where it's paralleled in Matthew. We'll see that in just a few minutes. Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15. Verse number 15, Jesus speaking, addressing his disciples, he says this. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now I want you to look at that statement there, where he says in Mark chapter number 16, verse number 15, the very beginning, go ye into all the world, and then he says, and preach the gospel to every creature. You know the part that I want to focus on? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to say this early on too. My desire is not only for the people of Jacksonville to be saved, but let me say this. The vision begins in Jacksonville. It doesn't end in Jacksonville. I hope that one day I'm able to send out other pastors to other areas and they can share that same vision in other places. But it always has to start somewhere. And I want the vision to begin here in Jacksonville, Florida. I don't think that it's too big of, you know, there's a lot of pastors out there that if they have heard someone speaking like this, and if they heard someone preaching about literally one church with like 38 people, you know, starting in 2018, and expecting that church in some way to be the catalyst or something to preaching the gospel to the entire world, they would say, you are insane. You are crazy. I want you to look at Mark chapter number 16. Look at verse number 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the what?
11.
He appeared unto the 11. Judas is gone. So it's not the 12 disciples anymore. He appeared unto the 11. Skip down to verse number 15. And he said unto who? The 11. Right? He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to say this to any pastor that would ever hear me preach this sermon and ever listen to this sermon. If they said, that's way too big of a dream. Well, guess what? Jesus didn't think it was. Right. We have 35 to 40 people sitting in here, and I'm saying that I believe that this church can reach this entire city with the gospel of Jesus Christ in 15 years.
Amen.
I don't think that that's that crazy at all. Not only do I think that this church of 35 to 40 people can preach the gospel to all of Jacksonville in the next 10, 15, 20 years. Not only that, my proof is that Jesus Christ took his 11 disciples. He didn't say go into this city and preach. He said go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Every single creature. Starting with not even 35 to 40 people, starting with 11 people. He had the Great Commission, he gave it to them. Go preach the gospel to the entire world. Every person that's on this planet, I want you to reach them with the gospel. But do you know what would have deterred them and what would have stopped them from doing that and from completing their mission? Exactly what stopped, actually these 11 right here. You know what it was? Selfishness. Not having a desire for the lost. If Peter and all of the other disciples would have cared for the people of the world and not only the people of their nation, then they would have went throughout all the world. But if you study the Bible very clearly, these 11 didn't go throughout all the world. They traveled with Paul here and there. But as far as this commission went, I'm sure in their hearts, I don't think that they immediately, when Jesus said, go ye into all the world, they're like, I'm not doing that. Not going to do that. I'll begin to do it, but I'm going back to Jerusalem. That's not what happened. When they were given the commission, I'm sure that they were excited in the beginning. I'm sure that they were like, I want to preach the gospel to every creature. I want to go to the entire world. I want to be obedient to God. I want to be obedient to Jesus. Do you know what happened? They didn't share in the burden. They didn't have a burden for the lost of all the world, of everyone. I just chose a random city when I came to Jacksonville. I looked in the southeast because I wanted to live in the southeast, you know, because I'm from Kentucky. I wanted to live in the southeast part of the area. I like the south. But not only that, I looked at statistics and on how many people were in the city at the time. I looked at possibility of growth with inside the city parameters. Anyone that's familiar with Jacksonville, Florida knows that it is the largest city as far as landmass in the continental U.S. And I'm not going to Alaska because the other city is in Alaska. So that's one of the things. So you know what that means? That means there's a lot of room for growth, right? Not only that, it's one of the fastest growing cities in the southeast. So you know what that tells me? The people that can live in Jacksonville, Florida, if it continues to grow, the population is going to go way, it's going to keep going up. You know, it, obviously people can get crammed in together in other cities too, but there's more room for growth. This city can get bigger, easier than other cities. Therefore, I can have an even bigger vision if I come here, because I don't want to do something small.
Right.
I don't want to do something small. I want to, when I end my life, I want to say that I have done, you know, the best and all that I can do for Jesus Christ when I'm done. I want to stand before God and not say, you know, and not have this small, you know, bit of work that I've completed in my life. I want to be able to say that I've done everything that I can, and it was a lot. I don't want to just stay in Jerusalem like they did, more metaphorically. I don't want to just be satisfied with something small. That's the difference between what Paul did and then Peter and all the other guys. There's a reason why the book of Acts stops talking about them. They're aware of that now. Once all that got pinned down and everything, the scriptures, I'm not saying they're up in heaven, you know, mourning. But I guarantee that if you were able to speak to them in this life and they knew what was in the book of Acts and they knew that that was scripture, that was a smack in the face. That all of a sudden it's talking about Peter and he's the man. Then you get a few chapters and he's hardly mentioned at all. And then it's talking about Paul doing everything. Paul does this and Paul does that. Why? Because Peter had a small vision.
Right.
Because Peter was just happy, just being content, sitting in his, you know, where he's from. He just wanted to stay in the city he's from. That was my original vision, was just to stay in Cincinnati. I'm glad that I didn't, because I believe that, you know, that when I started, when I moved and got familiar with another city, I definitely, my vision for what I wanted, wanted to do definitely grew. And I'm glad that my vision isn't, you know, the same vision that it was originally, because the new vision is much larger. Amen. It begins in Jacksonville, but it doesn't end in Jacksonville. Amen. I want you to turn your Bibles to, I'm going to have you turn to Matthew. Actually, I want you to go to, I'm going to read to you from Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 5, real quick. Go to Matthew chapter number 24, and I'll read to you from Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 5. Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 5 says this: "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye are, excuse me, ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you." When it says which, it's talking about the gospel. "Which is come unto you," watch this, "as it," talking about the gospel, "as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth." The point of that verse is this: God, Jesus, wanted the entire gospel to be preached to the whole world, and there was 11 guys he gave that commission to. They, I'm sure, preached the gospel to a lot of people, but they were the ones that ended up settling in Jerusalem. Paul didn't settle in Jerusalem, and Paul was able to echo forth the words that the whole world, before he died, the whole world, one man, he was the catalyst of that. He's not the one giving the gospel to every person, but he was the catalyst to bring the gospel to a city, getting people saved, discipling them, and then they reached their city too. He was the catalyst to the gospel being brought to the entire world. Within one man's lifetime, that's my point. Within one generation's lifetime, the gospel, went after those words were given from Jesus, passed down, Paul took that commandment serious, and the whole world received the gospel. Think about that for a minute. I want you to look in Matthew chapter number 24. Like I mentioned there, Matthew chapter number 24. Everybody's real familiar with this passage, and Jesus is speaking of the end times. Right? Now, have these things happened yet in Matthew chapter number 24? They have not, right? So the gospel went throughout the whole world in Paul's time, right? But this hasn't happened yet. So this is talking about a different time that's going to take place, right? I want you to understand those are two different things. Matthew chapter number 24, Jesus gives a list of what's going to happen in the end times. And he gives you signs, right? He goes through and he says, if you read this real quick, he'll talk about pestilences. He'll talk about famines. You know, earthquakes in diverse places. You talk about false prophets arising, right? He makes a statement that at this time, this is not when Paul lived, but at the time of all these things, these signs, right? He makes this statement in verse number 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom," watch this, "shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations." And then he says this, "and then shall the end come." There will be a time in a generation, which I believe is very possible that it's our generation. And if not ours, it's coming very, very soon, if not ours. But there will be a time in the end times, the last generation before Jesus Christ comes back, whoever it is that's living upon that earth, or at that time, living upon the earth at that time, they will preach the gospel to every creature upon the earth at that time. Every creature, every person will hear the gospel. Jesus said all the world, the entire world, at the time that this happened. I believe that this will be during our generation. But you know what? If it does happen in our generation, number one, I want to be a part of it.
Amen.
I want to be preaching the gospel to every creature, but you know what? Let me say this as well. If it doesn't happen in my lifetime, I want to still preach the gospel to every creature.
Amen.
Even if it's three generations away, I would still like to preach the gospel to every single creature still today.
Amen.
I would still at least like to reach all of these nations, all of these, all of these people, all of the cities in the United States, so that the gospel can at least be in those locations and be thriving in some degree in those locations to help them at that time preach the gospel to every creature. To put soul winners in cities, pastors and churches in cities in those areas that can at least, you know, benefit during that time if that generation is 2 to 3 generations away. I want to be a part of something. Think about this. There's a specific group of people that are going to do this that Jesus is referring to, that Jesus had in mind, in his mind, the Lord's mind, right? I want to be a part of that group that he was thinking about.
Amen.
I want to be a part of the group that he was saying, these people, you know, at this time, the gospel is going to be preached to the whole world. There's a certain group of people that are going to do that, and I want to be a part of that.
Amen.
I want to be preaching the gospel to every creature, but do you know what will stop you from doing that? You know the only reason why Paul just kept doing what he's doing is because he had a burden for the lost. Right. That he actually cared. And this needs to be said in reality in your mind, that people are dying every second, every minute. People in Jacksonville are dying continually, all the time, and they're going to hell. They're going to a fiery place of torment. And they will be there forever and forever and forever. And you know what? A lot of people in Jacksonville, a lot of pastors in Jacksonville don't care. You know why they don't care? Because you know why? Do you know how they're proving that they don't care? It's because they're not going out and preaching the gospel. There's something you can do to stop that. If you had the remedy to stop it, why wouldn't you? If you knew that I know what can stop these people from you know, experiencing eternal judgment and eternal damnation, why wouldn't you do something about it? You know why? Because you don't have a burden for those people. Because you know why people don't have burdens and stuff like that? Is because they're too focused on themselves. Because they're too selfish. That's why. Do you know why people, when they start churches, they just go right around the corner or right around the street from the church that sent them out? Because their whole purpose in starting that church is not to preach the gospel to every creature. When Jesus' last words were given to the church, what did he say? He told them, "Go ye therefore into all the world." Do you know what the main purpose of the local church is? Do you know the main purpose of Valley Baptist? This is the main purpose, not the only purpose, and I'm getting ready to get into that. It's to preach the gospel to every creature in Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen.
Every creature. That is the main purpose of our church. That's why we're going to have as many, as often as you will, we will go out soul winning, literally. I don't care if that is 7 days a week, and I'm being dead serious. If people are willing to show up 7 days a week, we will go soul winning 7 days a week, and I'm not joking.
Amen.
Every day. And then we're going to discuss all of this over in the corner afterwards, so make sure you remember to meet me over in the corner. We're going to talk about, you know, setting up soul winning times. If guys are like, "I'll come," I'm not kidding. We're going to talk about this, and I'm serious. If guys say, "I'll come 5 days a week," we'll set 5. I don't care if there's, you know, only 3 people coming to each time. Who cares? I will set 5 soul winning times. I was going to say this. I'm going to go ahead and tell you now because I thought about it. 5 soul winning times weekly. However many however often you guys are willing to come, that's how often we'll go soul winning. I want you to turn in your Bibles to, go to Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew chapter number 28. As I mentioned, this is a parallel with Mark chapter number 16. Matthew chapter number 28. Look at verse number 18. And Jesus, we'll begin in verse number 11, because it ties in with what we had talked about, the 11. Verse number 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. So you see the consistency there. There's only 11 here when he's speaking to them. Into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Man. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. When most churches preach unto you the Great Commission, do you know where they preach it from? Where have you heard, the majority, just anyone, where have you heard what Matthew 28 or Mark 16?
Matthew?
I was going to say that I've heard it from Mark the majority of the time. I always hear, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why I was here, because you know what most churches focus on? And they say, hey, we're fulfilling the Great Commission, is preaching the gospel and soul winning only. Most churches, when they say, hey, we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, do you know what they say? We're going to go out and we're going to preach the gospel to every creature. That's not the what you just said is not the Great Commission. It's a part of the Great Commission. It is not the Great Commission. Because when you compare these passages, there's more than that. There's preaching the gospel to every creature. The last words, Jesus didn't only want them to preach the gospel to every creature. The proof of that is when you see them preach the gospel to every creature, what are they doing almost immediately after? It says, in that same hour, they're baptizing people, aren't they?
Right.
Look at Matthew chapter number 28. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. This right here, when he says teach all nations right here, when you compare scripture to scripture, the most plausible explanation or the interpretation is that this right here is the synonymous part, because things are worded differently in some of the Gospels. You can compare them and make sense of them. That this part right here where he says teach all nations, that makes sense, that would be the same phrase of them talking about. Because preaching is teaching, but it's just a different form of teaching. So right here he says teach all nations, that's talking about preaching the gospel. Teach all nations. He's telling them to go to all nations. Mark 16, when he says preach, he's telling them to go to all nations. The proof of that also is the fact that he has another commandment, the third commandment here. The first is to teach all nations. Second is to baptize. Look, and then third, he says, teaching them to observe all things. So notice there's two there. Teach all nations, and then teaching them to observe all things. The first one is preaching the gospel. And that's the order anyways. Preach the gospel, get them baptized, and then he says, and then teach them all things. So the first teach is talking about getting them saved, preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. Because when you preach the gospel, there's a lot of teaching. You got to break things down. You got to use examples. You know, you got to teach people and explain to them the gospel. But he says this. Let me get back on track. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Watch what he says next. Baptizing them. Baptizing them. So the Great Commission, it doesn't just end at, you know, preaching the gospel. If we are going to fulfill the Great Commission, here's the thing. When Jesus spoke to the 11, when Jesus talked to the 11, and he knows that the people, that my last words, think, you know, there's books written. Like, there's I've read not the whole thing, but probably about half to three quarters of a book that was just like famous last words, or the last words of famous people that have lived. You know, the point is that people's last words are very important. Especially, it's a lot of times when people die, when you read that, you can tell, like, this person knows that they're getting ready, you know, to die right now. This person is laying in bed. When I would read that book, you can tell that the words that they're speaking, if it's even true, that they know that they're about ready to pass. I've heard a lot of people talk about family members that have passed away, and you can tell by the statements that the person was making, they knew that their time was coming to an end. Well, let me say this. Jesus Christ knew for a fact that these were going to be his last words when he physically spoke to his disciples when he was on this earth. So, what do you do when you know, like, these are going to be the last time that I speak to these people? You know what? He wanted to make sure that he gave them very important instructions. And then he was very clear. And he didn't only tell them to go preach the gospel. His last words, he didn't just say, make sure you preach the gospel to every creature. Just focus on that. Only focus on that. He didn't just say that. He said, preach the gospel to every creature. And he said, and baptize them. Make sure that you baptize them. People lessen the importance of baptism. Baptism does not save you, but baptism is extremely important. Amen. It's a part of what we know as Christians, as, you know, as just the church of believers. It's a part of what we know as the Great Commission. Think about that. The Great Commission. When Jesus Christ spoke to his church, I'm going to leave you with my last words. Go preach the gospel to every creature and make sure you get them baptized. Not only baptize them, but teach them all things that I've taught you. Baptism is important. And like I mentioned, when you see people in the Bible, all of the disciples, did they just go out and did they just preach the gospel to people and say, hey man, it's great, it's awesome that you're saved, and give them a handshake and walk away? You can't find that one time in the entire Bible. You can't find that one time. Even in the incident with Philip, what happens? He preaches in the gospel, but guess what else he does? He at least gets him baptized, right? And then God obviously had some emergency or whatever it was, and he left, right? But every time you see in the Bible, I don't think that there's one single, even if there's one, guess what? There's like 60 other examples, however many. There's multiple examples where the disciples preach the gospel and they never just walk away. They talk about the importance of being baptized. When you give the gospel to someone from Value Baptist Church, do not just walk away after that person gets saved. You know what you need to go into immediately thereafter? You need to start telling them, you know what? Now it's time to get baptized. Now you need to be baptized. God commanded it. You know what? It is a command. I don't have this, but go to Acts chapter 10. Go to Acts chapter number 10. Acts chapter number 10. Look at the very last part of the chapter. Whoops. Acts chapter number 10. It says this. Verse 47. Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? See, look, as soon as they get saved, what is he looking for? He doesn't say, I'll see you, man. That's awesome. He says, let's get them baptized. Where's water at? Look what he says. That these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. He says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Notice that. He didn't just suggest, hey, you know what, it'd probably be a pretty good idea, man, now that you believed in Jesus to be baptized. No, it says he commanded them. I don't think there's anything wrong with you commanding them. You don't have to say, like, I command you to be baptized right now. You know, right this minute you need to be baptized. I would tell them, like, hey, you know what, this is what I always say, actually. It's not what I would. Anyone that's with me, I always immediately, Brother Elliot, don't I? Soon as somebody gets saved, you know what I say? That's awesome that you're saved. Nothing can change that. You're saved for all eternity. It's the greatest thing that could possibly happen to you. But you know what? It doesn't end there. You need to be baptized. God commanded you to be baptized. And if they say it's a commandment, I'll turn to Acts chapter 10 and show them that. It's a commandment to be baptized. And then I go into explaining that people normally kind of hem-haul around because it's a lot easier just to believe on Jesus Christ when I came to your doorstep than it is to go get in your car and drive to my church. And by the way, we need to get a baptistry. Yeah, people are going to be coming here.
Amen.
Don't start telling people until next week. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, but it's a lot easier, seriously, for people to just believe when I came to your doorstep and showed you step by step what you have to do from the Bible, right? Than it is to take, you know, schedule a lot of time in your schedule to be able to come down here on a Sunday morning. And I understand that if it's not something usual to you, it can be a little bit difficult for a person to get in the routine of coming to church. It can. You know, and it's awkward for people, I'm sure. That's what I'm explaining. It's a lot more difficult to come to church and be baptized in front of a bunch of people that they don't know. Do you know what? That's why you need to listen to these words. I don't care if anybody tries to say, well, that's not right. You need to pressure them into coming to church and pressure them. Once they're saved, you need to pressure them into coming to church and pressure them. You know what? If I guarantee that if you were to be honest, and if you, let's say that you didn't get saved until later on in your life, I guarantee that you would say, I wish someone came to my door when I was 13, 14 years old, gave me the gospel, and almost forced me to come to church. Amen. I wish that somebody would come. And these same people, this is my point, that if you pressured them to come to church, they got baptized, you started seeing the difference in their life. If you came up to them, are you glad that I was pushing? They'd say, yes, I was glad. Yeah. I was glad you came to me, and I was glad that you gave me the gospel and got me saved, but you know what else? I was glad that you came and you got me to be baptized, and you pushed me to be baptized.
Yeah.
We know the Bible, and we know the truth, and we know what's right, and I'm going to use the truth, and when it needs to be used, to be pushy, and tell people, hey, it's a commandment, just like the disciples said. It says, this is God writing here. Notice that it's not saying, I command you. It's not, you know, quoting him. It's God saying, he commanded them. You understand? So whatever tone of voice he used, God knew that's a command. That when he looked down at his disciple, he said, that's a command. He's commanding them. He's commanding them to be baptized right now. Another thing I tell people is this. I always say this. Do you want to change your life? And what does everybody say?
Yes.
Of course. I've never had someone tell me no. Do you want to change your life? They would say, yes, of course. And I would say this. Let me tell you a pattern of people. Because I've gotten some people to come to church and stuff, and it's real hard to do. And get baptized and everything, I'll tell you. And I've seen people change their life and stuff from out soul winning. But I always say this. Do you want to change your life? Yes. Let me give you a tip of what I've personally experienced over the past, you know, almost 10 years of going out and going soul winning and getting people to be saved, getting people saved, and then the people that I have seen get baptized and come to church. I'll tell you a pattern. That the people that, I have people tell me all the time they want to change their life, but the people that actually go through with just the first step of obedience, because that's one thing I explained to them, you know what the first step of obedience is to be baptized. You know what? The people that go through with the very first step, just the first simple step of obedience, of being baptized, it is very, very common if they're going to come and get baptized that they're going to keep coming to church. That's what I tell everybody. So if you're not going to show up, it's almost 100% positive that you're just not going to change your life. So right now, you can go ahead and settle in your mind. I don't word it this way, but this is the truth. If I don't see you at church in the next month or two or whatever, because while it's fresh in your mind, hey, I'm saved, I know I'm going to heaven, you have that excitement to at least push you then to go and get baptized. But if you're not going to get baptized, you know, if you're just not going to come, I can almost guarantee you that you are never going to change your life. Almost guarantee you. So do you know what? If you really desire to start living a godly life, start pleasing God, not only just you're going to heaven, but start, and I tell people too, I explain too, and I don't care. Like I said, you know, people may think, well, that's pushy and that's pressuring people. I tell people too, after I explain to them that you are going to, that you're a son of God, God punishes his children, I tell people after that when I'm talking about baptism and they act like they don't want to come, I'll remind them, you remember when I explained to you how God punishes his children? Were you God's child just a few minutes ago? No. You are God's child now? Guess what? I just told you about this commandment. So if you're disobedient, you know what God's going to do to you? Whether you think that's pushy or too, I don't speak like that. But, you know, I explain that concept to them and that idea to them. Brother Elliot, true or not?
Yes.
All the time. I'm very kind, but I tell them, you know, God will punish you in your life now. You're God's child. And if you decide that you're not going to come and be baptized, God will start punishing you in your life, whether that's sickness or whatever it may be. But guess what? If you want to change your life, it begins with baptism. That's the first step. You know what? My vision for Jacksonville is not just, hey, let's preach the gospel to every creature. That's part one. You know what part two is? I want people from this church to have a vision of getting people saved, but not just walking away from their doorstep and just leaving them there. You know, they're saved, yes, but living in a mess and destroying their lives and continuing down that same path because they still have the same flesh. I want you to pressure that person. I want you to preach to that person the importance. Don't lessen baptism in their minds. Preach to them the importance of baptism and why they should come. Just as Jesus Christ, when he told his disciples, preach the gospel to every creature, he also said, baptize them. Baptize them. And you can't show me, if we're going to look at some great men of the Bible, let's talk about Paul. Everybody says, I agree, greatest Christian in the whole Bible. Let's talk about Paul. Did Paul only preach the gospel? Paul preached the gospel, and then he got people baptized. Acts 19, what does he do? Preaches the gospel to them, and then he's like, okay, time to get baptized. Immediately. I mentioned this the other day, and I don't think anybody was there. But one time, when I was in Phoenix preaching the gospel to a person, they were inside the pool. There was a gate up, and they were inside the pool. And there was a woman, and she had a towel on her. I wouldn't have even given her the gospel. But she had a towel on, so I couldn't see anything. And I preached her the gospel, and she got saved. And I started pressuring her. I was like, hey, do you live in the apartment? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, if you go get changed and come back down here, I'll have my friend who's my partner, come here and I'll baptize you right now. And I showed her in the Bible, like, hey, you know, you're supposed to be baptized that same hour. You know why? Because my pastor, when I was back in Newport, Kentucky area, he would preach the gospel to somebody, and he's the main person that I learned from. And you know what he did? As soon as he preached the gospel to somebody, he started telling them how important it was to be baptized. You know what? And then when I searched the scriptures for myself and I started developing my own ideas, I hear a lot of pastors out there preaching the Great Commission, and they just say, hey, let's go soul winning. It doesn't end there. My pastor was right. Not just because he was my pastor. I looked at it. And I look at what is the Great Commission, and it doesn't end at salvation. It doesn't end at just opening your mouth and preaching the gospel to people. It begins there. And that's the greatest part of it. Don't get me wrong. But it begins there, but it doesn't end there.
When you preach the gospel to somebody and they get saved, immediately take step two and start telling them, hey, you need to be baptized. The importance of baptism. My vision is not only just to get Jacksonville saved. My vision is to get Jacksonville baptized. To get people to be baptized. To follow Jesus Christ in the Great Commission.
Amen.
I want you to turn to, go back to Matthew chapter number 28 real quick. Matthew chapter number 28. We're going to see the next part of the Great Commission. The last part of the Great Commission here, Matthew chapter number 28. And look what it says in verse number 20. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And then he says, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, do you think you're going to teach them all things at the one time you go to their door?
No.
No. Not a chance, is there? Everything. How long was the disciples with Jesus? Because he's speaking to the 11 disciples. Let's look at this and try to figure out what he's saying. How long? 3 years. Do you think that the first time, you know, Jesus met one of them, he just taught them all things right then, and he just kept repeating it? No, it took 3 years for Jesus to be able to teach the 11 all things, right? He's talking about all the things that he taught them, right? So, when this passage says teaching them all things, it's not only talking about at their door. What are they going to have to do? They're going to have to come to church. If they don't come, if here's the thing. If they're going to come to church, do you think they're just going to do so without you giving the address? Without you telling them, hey, you should come to church? No. Do you know what you need to do after you get somebody saved? You need to get them saved. You need to preach unto them and command them to be baptized. But you'd also need to say, hey, you know, you need to start coming to church on a regular basis. You need to start coming to church on a regular basis. I don't only, part one, get people saved. Part one, preach the gospel to every single citizen that's registered in the city of Jacksonville, Florida. Part one. Part two, I want all of those people to be baptized. I'm not saying that they will, but I'm not saying that we're going to preach the gospel to every person too. There's going to be a percentage of the people that we preach to that are going to get saved, right? And there's also within, we break that down into its subset, we're going to see another percentage of the people that get saved. There's only going to be a percentage of those people that get baptized. But guess what? I want you to tell them. You need to be baptized. It's a commandment. Not only that, of the people that do get baptized, there will be a percentage of those people that do continue going to church. Now let me say this. We are not a church that does not do follow-up. And we will do follow-up. Follow-up is very, very important. This ministry is not the ministry of YouTube. The Valley Baptist Church, I could have started the church anywhere and it wouldn't have mattered, right? I chose a specific city because this is the church of Jacksonville, Florida. Valley Baptist Church, which is located in Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to preach the gospel to every person in Jacksonville, but I also want them to get baptized, and I want to reach the people of this city.
Amen.
I had for a long time considered, a lot of you guys here know that, not even posting the sermons on YouTube. But I think it is beneficial to put the sermons on YouTube, not only for people that are just listening and don't attend the church, but even for people, this was the main reason, that attend the church. They want to go back and listen to that sermon. Maybe they had a question about something, or even I can go back and listen to something that I had preached, you know, 5-10 years ago to compare something that I see in the Bible. I started thinking about, well, is it really important? You know, but I said that to say this. I don't post those sermons on YouTube because that's my main focus. That is almost pointless to me.
Amen.
Right. The sermons going on YouTube, the sermons going on the webpage, I could almost care nothing about. I was pretty sold that I wasn't going to do it in the first place. This is the Church of Jacksonville, Florida. And I want the people of Jacksonville not only to get saved, not only to get baptized. I keep repeating myself because I want it to be pounded into your head. There's three steps to the vision of Jackson, of the vision for Jacksonville, Florida, of Valley Baptist Church. Saved, baptized, and discipled. Teach them all things. I want to see people's lives change.
Amen.
And here's the thing. When he gave that original commandment to 11 people, do you think that Jesus was saying, he knew this is starting with 11 guys. I got 11 guys standing in front of me, and I'm telling them to go preach the gospel to every creature. But do you think that he didn't know that they were going to go out and get other people discipled? Because that's a part of the commandment. You know what he's saying? He's not saying go out and you 11. Just preach it to everybody. You know what's a part of that Great Commission? Preach the gospel to every creature. But even integrated in the Great Commission, he says this. Preach the gospel to every creature, get them baptized, and teach all nations. What's a part of the teach all nations whatsoever I've commanded you? What are the things he commanded? What are some of the things that he taught them? Hey, how about one soul winning? Right? Do you know what you do when you say, oh, follow-up's not important? You're basically saying, because you're ignorant of how to reach a city, that reaching the whole city is not important. I want you to think about this for a minute. If a person makes the statement, I'd rather, doing follow-up for an hour, I would rather go soul winning. Okay, well, let's test your theory, okay? Let's test your theory. You go soul winning for an hour for 5 days, right? Let's say it's one time a week, so 5 weeks, okay? You go soul winning for those days, and you get one person saved, right? You personally, in 5 weeks, are getting one person saved, okay? You do follow-up for 5 weeks. Four of the times, no one comes. Because you know why people don't like follow-up? They can say whatever they want. I just want to go soul winning. What's easier, getting people saved or getting people in church? People like to do what's easy. They know it's easy. I knock on your door. There's a good chance I could get you saved. It's a lot harder to get people in church. And that's why people don't like doing it. Right. Here's the thing. 5 weeks, you get one person saved. You go out, you do follow-up during that time, right? You don't get anybody saved if you're going to go do follow-up, right? So there's five times you didn't get anybody saved. Four of the times, no one comes to church. One time, a person comes. He gets baptized. You train him how to go soul winning. And now he's soul winning with you every single time you go. Guess what you've done after that? Now you have doubled the amount of people that are going to get salt that are going to get saved. Yeah, you forsook some time, but I hope you're forsaking salt. I hope you're not, well, I'm just not going to go soul winning anymore. I'm only going to do follow-up. You understand what I'm saying math-wise?
Yeah.
If you're still going soul winning at another time, but you're also doing follow-up, you are going to end, because you don't only get one person saved when you go out. Oftentimes you get a lot more than that. And sometimes when you do follow-up, you're going to get three people to come to church. You have a whole other person that's going out soul winning with you now. You've added an additional person that's going to go out and go soul winning with you every single time. So when Jesus Christ commanded them to preach the gospel to every single creature, they have, he has the commandment that goes forth to preach the gospel to every creature, but that commandment, even integrated into that commandment, is the concept of when you get them saved, baptize them and teach them that they need to go preach the gospel to every creature too. It begins with 35 to 40 people, but when this lease is up in 2 years, I don't want to stay here unless they're willing to let us knock this wall down too.
Right.
And I hope there's not another bearing wall over there. Knock this wall down too, and then and we can stay here. I want the church to be like busting at the seams where people are having to sit in the window or something. I want the church to be like entirely full to where we are forced to move to another. And you know what? I don't want just the seats to be full. I want people in here that understand, hey, when they come, you know what? Start teaching them the vision of Jacksonville, Florida. When you take them out, they're going to see you. Hey, he gets these people saved, but then he tells them, hey, they need to get baptized, just like he told me. Hey, you know what? When you come to church, you're going to start learning things when you're seated in church, and you're going to know that, hey, when I need to go soul winning. You go out soul winning, and then they get taught how to go soul winning. Right? And then you just, what? Quadruple. I mean, we could just, that is the way. Follow-up is important, not only to change their lives, but also that we have a larger army that's going out and preaching the gospel to every creature.
Amen. Yeah.
It is so much more effective if we can add people here to help us go soul winning. If we can sacrifice a little bit of time to do follow-up, if that adds people in here to go soul winning, you just need to be effective at follow-up. The better you get at follow-up, the better it would be. The more people that we can get into the church, the more people that we can get saved. Let me tell you this too. 35 people are not going to preach the gospel to this entire city. 35. Paul, here's the thing. Paul did not preach the gospel to the entire world himself. He's traveling. He's in jail. But do you know what he was doing? He was preaching the gospel. He was ordaining elders and stuff like that. He was baptizing people. And do you know what else he was doing? He was teaching them how to go soul winning. So he teaches them how to go soul winning. And I'm sure he was communicating with them, writing them letters, encouraging them, and asking them, hey, have you reached your city with the gospel yet? All you have, you know? He's writing, there's this other church, Ephesus. He's writing them and asking them the same thing. Hey, are you still preaching the gospel to everybody? He trains people and then he moves on to another city. And he preaches the gospel to a few people, gets them saved. He, of course, keeps laboring, keeps preaching the gospel, but he's duplicating himself, and then he's going to another area. Follow-up is important. We'll turn to a passage here. I think I have it on here. It's in Acts. I think it's 14. I think I know what it is anyways. We'll see that Paul followed up. Acts chapter number 14, verse number 22. A little verse 21 for context. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and to Antioch. Why is this? So he just got done preaching the gospel, and he goes back to another city that he had already preached the gospel to, but it says he returned. He was there, now he's coming back. It says, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. So he goes back, and he goes back to that same city, is my point, that he was already in. And he goes back, and it says what? He's confirming the souls. Now, whether or not that's an exact, perfect application, the point is this. He returned to that city. People that he had gotten saved, yeah, maybe they might have had an established church and everything, but Paul wasn't there while they grew and everything. He came in and he still did his version of what would be follow-up. He went back to the church, made sure everything was in order. When it says confirming the souls, that's making sure, like, everything's good. That's salvation. That's the practice and the order of the church. That's confirming the souls. Follow-up is important. We get people saved, but we don't just walk away from their doorstep. Yeah, it's great they're saved. People are like, here's the thing. I don't see anything wrong with traveling to a city that's close by, just preaching the gospel and then leaving. Because, yeah, there's local churches in that area. But in Jacksonville, Florida, where we are located, we are going to get them saved and we are going to tell them, hey, come to church and be baptized. Yeah, because we're not located in that city. That would be a totally different situation. But do not just give someone the gospel and then just walk away. Tell them the importance of baptism. Explain to them, hey, come and be baptized. Don't just leave it at that. I love seeing when people come to church and just seeing this progression in their lives. Their families, their children just start looking different. They're just acting different. You can see a change in their life. You can see a change in their heart. That is a great thing. Amen. It's great to look at people, and if you don't care about that, then you don't have a burden for people. Seriously, you're selfish. If you're like, that's stupid sounding. You sound like you're just going soft. No, you're just selfish is what you are. Seriously. Some guy actually told me that recently, didn't he? You know what I'm talking about? Pastor Josh, one of the churches that I was going to on a Sunday night, he was like, we were going there on Sunday nights because my home church has never had a Sunday evening. This sermon's wrapping up right now, so I'm going to tell you a quick story. They didn't have a Sunday evening service, so we would go to, I have a cousin that was in that area, Josh, Pastor Josh, and he was like, hey, can you come up? And they gave us a gift and everything, and gave like an unofficial send-off, because that's not the church that I was actually, attending Sunday mornings and everything that I was actually a part of. And it's a great church, he's a great guy, he's a real good preacher, and he gave like an unofficial send-off. And he gave us like a gift and stuff, real, it's a good gift. And he, when he was, I don't know if even Jessica was there, but he was like, I went up there and spoke for a few minutes. And he was like, it's been great to have Brother Baker here. And he's like, and I hope you don't mind me saying this, but in the time that you've been here, you've softened up a little bit. And I was like, shut your mouth. No, I'm just kidding. No, but you know what? Let me say this, though. When things happen in your life over a period of time, it can make you look at your life differently. You know what I mean? When you're treated a certain way, it can make you kind of look at things a little bit differently.
Right.
You know what I mean? Seriously. You know what? I hope it helps me care for the city of Jacksonville more.
Amen.
You know what? And that's the what I want to get across to you is, and then here at the end of the sermon, is have a burden for people to get saved. Care with the person. Be diligent when you're soul winning. When you're at the door, sometimes it's easy. Oh, there's three doors. I'm just going to knock on one of them. Not home, let's go to the next door. No, knock on the first door and wait. No answer. Wait, go around to the next door. Oh, this is apartment number two. Totally different person. Check out the house. Be diligent when you're speaking to the person even. Be thorough. Be diligent. Don't be overly thorough. Waste your time and be a dead horse. But But have discernment whether or not you need to go deeper on a certain subject. Pay close attention. That's what being diligent is. Pay attention when you're giving the gospel. And you know what type of person does that? A person that cares for the person they're speaking to. I've said this before. I'm sure you guys have heard me say this. When you're at someone's door, most people can care whether you care. Can see whether you care. They can look at you and see, like, this guy really cares right now. He really does want me to be saved. So you know what? Have a burden for getting people saved. You know what? Also have a burden for getting people baptized and in church so that they can change their lives. Would you like to go back to the old life that you were living? Think about that for a minute. Would you like to live the life that you were living in the past?
No.
Because I'm sure everybody else, you know, the majority of people here probably have spent time in the world just because everyone has. That's the last thing that I want. So you know what? Don't be selfish because you care about it for yourself. Why not care about it for the person after you get them saved that you want them to come to church too?
Right.
The first step is baptism. And it means a lot. You'll start noticing that when people do come to church and they do get baptized, you know, you'll notice that, hey, of the percentage of people that do come into church and go forth with that first step, they go forward with the first step of obedience, being baptized, there's a high percentage of people that stick with the church. Very high percentage. You can run that through your mind of what maybe you've, you know, seen or witnessed in your life. But it's very common. I'm not saying that some people don't. I'm saying percentage-wise. Much more common if they are going to come. My vision for Jacksonville is not this. And it's not. That's why I didn't title it, actually, My Vision. The pastor may put forth the vision, but it can't just be my vision. It has to be the vision of Valiant Baptist Church. Right. Everyone here has to share in that vision. You know what the vision for Jacksonville Church is? This. The Great Commission. Because when he sent forth his disciples, this is what he wanted them to do. And they had only been in one city, and he said, go to these other cities. So I came here to this city, and I'm going to be, you know, just as obedient to that command as when it was given. I think that we should be just as obedient to that command that was given as we should today.
Right.
Preach the gospel, get people baptized, and then after the baptized, disciple them. Disciple them. The three-part vision of Valiant Baptist Church for Jacksonville, Florida. And I want to change this city. I want people when I am like 70 years old to say, when that guy came, you know, and not only that guy, you know, when that church showed up here, Valiant Baptist Church, they made a huge impact.
Amen.
They made a huge impact. That church just changed that city. You say, hey, there's another church. Good for them. They can have, I don't care. They can have a vision too. That's great. You know what? If I see other people from these other churches out, I don't care what church it is, all the churches in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm not. They can be a bunch of idiots if they want. They can be retards if they want. I hope they get people saved.
Amen.
They're a bunch of immature little kids is what half those people are.
Right.
And they're childish.
Yeah.
You know, and you know what? And I'm not trying to puff myself up and say this is maturity, but this is maturity. I hope they get people saved.
Amen.
I truly do. I hope that they're able to do that. But Valiant Baptist Church has its own vision for Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen.
Because you know what? I don't know what's going to happen to that church. It could be gone in 10 years.
Yeah.
You don't have any idea. You have no clue. Churches close down all the time. And they start off with great visions. You know that? Mm-hmm. All the time. I've heard tons of stories. Being an independent Baptist my whole life. People going across country even. Or to other countries even. I hope they get people saved, but we have our own vision here at Valley Baptist Church, and it hasn't changed. It's never changed. It's the same. I want to change this city is what I want.
Amen.
Same vision.
Amen.
I want to impact this city. I want, just as the disciples did, I want to turn this. They turned the world upside down. I want to come here to Jacksonville, Florida. You know what? First, we're going to turn this city upside down.
Amen.
In 10 years, everybody's going to know the name of Valiant Baptist Church.
Amen.
And you know what? And then in another 30 years, the whole world's going to know the name of Valiant Baptist Church.
Amen.
I want to change this entire world.
Amen.
You know what? And it began on March 25th of this year, 2018.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father God, we thank you, dear Lord, that you're a big God and that we can have big visions because it's all through you. Dear Lord, that through God we shall do God. We love you, Lord. Be with us. Help us to have a burden for souls. Help us to care about people and whether or not they're saved, dear Lord God, and whether or not they've taken that first step, that first commandment of being baptized, which is an important part of our Christian life. That's where it begins, dear Lord. But not only whether they've been baptized, Help us to take people under our wing and teach all nations, not just some of the stuff that we know and that we've learned from you and from your word, but help us to teach them all things, dear Lord. We love you, dear God. Just be with us, dear Heavenly Father, every day. Just we just hope above all things that you would be with our church and that we would have your blessings upon this church. As I said, we love you, dear Lord. Just be with the rest of the day. Bless the service tonight. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen.